Tell you what the love chapter is, right? The love chapter is 1 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And let's read verse 4. Love is patient, and love is kind. Our Father, our good Father, we thank you for loving us while we were your enemies. We thank you, Father, for being so gracious to us and good to us. And we ask you to teach us today how to love, to teach us about kindness. Not only teach us, let us understand it and empower us to live that way. And we ask this in Jesus' name and for the Father's glory. Amen. Last week we learned that love is kind in word and what else? Deed. It is not just what you say, not just kind words, but kind deeds. And even against our enemies. Did we learn that? From Luke chapter 6. Around verse 34 and 35 says, love is kind even to its enemies and does not retaliate. How many of you ever wanted to retaliate? Okay, we all want to do that. But love is long-suffering and love is kind. It is not enough to say, okay, I'm not going to retaliate, right? I'm not going to hit him back. I'm going to let God take care of him. Vengeance is the Lord's. But additionally, where it says love suffers long, it says that love is kind. See, this is an extraordinary love. Not only can I not get you back, I must be kind to you, even to an enemy. And there's a perfect example of someone, Jesus Christ, who lived that way. Everybody ever hear of Abraham Lincoln? Okay. How many of you ever heard of Edwin Stanton? Haven't heard of him. In fact, President Obama quoted Lincoln concerning him. You see, Abraham Lincoln, when he was running for president the first time, he was hated because he, you know, he had some weird ideas about slavery, right? And people hated him because he wanted to see the Union stay together primarily and secondarily the freedom of the slaves. And Edward Stanton hated Lincoln. He called him all kinds of names. He called him a clown. He said, you didn't have to go someplace to see a gorilla. He's a gorilla. You've heard of Megilla, right? Gorilla? It was a toy. This was a real man, Abraham Lincoln, perhaps because he had long arms. He was very tall. He called him a gorilla. And you know, Abraham Lincoln did not call him a name in retaliation. In fact, he said nothing, and he suffered it throughout the campaign for president. And he became president. And he then had the power to get him, right, as president. Right? Abuse of power. Right? But you know what Abraham Lincoln did? He appointed him as a member of his cabinet as Secretary of War. Can you imagine that? And then not only that, he praised him. He was asked, why did you appoint this man who called you a gorilla and a clown? He said, because he was the best man for the job. Could you do that? And not only that, watch this. Watch this. See, that's kindness, to appoint one of your enemies to be your Secretary of War. And he's waged, you know, political war against you. When Abraham Lincoln was assassinated and killed, Stanton, in honor of Lincoln, went to his casket and he said, here lies the greatest leader the world has ever known. No more clown, no more gorilla. Something had changed Edward Stanton's heart and mind. I believe that God used the long-suffering and the kindness of Lincoln to change that man's heart. I'm here today to tell you about the power of the kindness of God. And the message I have for you today is simply this. Kindness flows out of a kind heart. This series of sermons on love is not to get you to do this and that and the other thing. Oh, yes, we know that kindness involves words and deeds. But it is designed, my hope and my prayer is that God would use these messages to change our hearts from being hard, retaliatory, wanting to do evil for evil, but more than that, to be kind. Because kindness, the Apostle Paul wrote, love is kind. And it's got to change. God has to change out of his love our hearts so that kindness can flow out of us. Goodness is another word for kindness. Grace is another word for kindness. God has called us and he wants to change our hearts so that we will be gracious as Lincoln was to Stanton. And that we will be kind to people. And that the orientation of our hearts, that means the response of your heart, would be kindness, even in the face of evil. And this is an extraordinary thing that human beings cannot do. It must be by the fruit of the Spirit. I'll talk more about that in a moment. But you cannot have love without kindness. Anybody know what this is? Anybody know what this is? Can you help me here? What is this? Huh? What is it? Picture of a what? No, it's a fireplace, right? Right? Fireplace. How many agree this is a fireplace? Right? That's a fireplace. It really is. Okay. So we have not only a fireplace, we have this. What is this? Help me, somebody. It's fire. Would you agree that little girl back there, this is fire? Those of you listening to me online, I'm showing a picture of a fireplace with fire in it. How many would agree this is fire? All right? Wrong. You know I had to get you somewhere to get you to think. It's not fire. Why? Because there's no heat. There's no heat. You cannot have fire, right, without heat. In the same way, you cannot have love without kindness. Are you with me today? What is this? Right? What is this? What is it? It's a cup, but what else is cup? What is this? All right, it has written on it what? Water. But how many believe that this is water? Huh? Why isn't this water? Okay, that's a good one. It's not wet. Why isn't this water? Because it's missing something. And it's not water that it's missing. It's not only water, I should say, that it's missing. What is it missing? Missing H. It's missing H. Did y'all pass chemistry or what? It's missing H. What is water made of? Chemistry, folks. Come on, students. H2O. What's in here? It's oxygen in here. It's O in here. Oh, why didn't you get that? Oh. It's O in here, but it's not the H. Right? It's not the H2. It's not the hydrogen. You have to have what to have water? Hydrogen and oxygen. Right? In the same way, to have love, what must you have? Kindness. All right. I think you got the picture now. See, we can talk about how we love all we want, but unless we have kindness, It is not love. It is not love. And we need to always examine ourselves and ask God, show me, God, whether or not I have love. And if we don't have it, we must realize it's not something we can produce. How many of you can make, right out of thin air, right, hydrogen? Okay? In the same way, you can't make kindness. It's got to flow from the heart of God. It's got to flow. It is the supernatural goodness of God. It is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. It is the graceful, loving kindness of a heart that's oriented to be kind in all situations. How many of you got a compass on you today? I don't have one, but imagine you do. If you had a compass and you turned it all different directions, you turned it north, south, east, and west, and around, which way will that needle be oriented to? What direction will that needle? North, right? Always north. In the same way, by the power of the Holy Spirit, no matter what happens to you or what you go through, ask God to help change your heart, that you will always be oriented towards kindness. It is the orientation of one's heart. And the only way that can happen is that we live in the power of God's salvation. God was kind to us when we were his enemies. He was kind to us when we were doing anything we wanted to do. He was kind to us when we rejected him. And he showed his kindness through his goodness and grace in giving us salvation. And if you have not received that wonderful gift of his kindness and of his goodness and his grace, it's a free gift. Jesus died so that he could live in us. And the power of his Spirit, the power of his love, can overcome any adversity. And you can still be kind. Because when you're kind to somebody else, guess what? Really? Really? You're being kind to yourself. Yourself is not the object of it. But when somebody does you wrong and you go back at them, you're hurting yourself. When we don't forgive, guess what? We're saying, oh, they're mean and they're horrible. And yet we choose to hold on to them. How would you like to carry around a dead body? That was a form of punishment by the Romans. Thousands of years ago, you had the death penalty. And the death penalty was to have attached to you a rotting corpse. How many corpses are you carrying around? How many people you won't let go? You won't forgive them. And I won't forgive them to be kind to them the way God has been kind to us. Think about it. This is a supernatural thing that God must do. He must change our hearts so that our hearts will be kind. You can try all you want to. You're going to still revert back to the other way. You need a new heart where you always point north to God and his kindness and his forgiveness, and to live that way by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the only way it can be done. Look at this. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 18, it says, little children, we're God's children, right? Let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and truth. And by this shall we know that we are of the truth and reassure our hearts before him. No kindness, no love. Think about that. No kindness, no love. But with kindness, with love, fruit of the Spirit, comes kindness. And God lives that in and through us by Jesus. Jesus is the only one who can do that. I can't do that. I don't want to do that. Right? How many times I just want to forgive him. No. That's not the orientation of my fallen nature. But God gives me a new heart that says, yes, forgive, as he's forgiven me. We have been called to glorify God. See, the glory of God is simply putting on display to others what God is like, and in particular, his kindness, in particular, his love and grace. And by displaying it in our lives with other people, we glorify God. We give the people a taste of what God is like, as imperfect as it may be. Because none of us can do that all the time perfectly. But it is a way to reach people. It is a life. Remember that quote? I didn't bring it with me. I should have. From John Wesley. Talk about doing good. As long as you could, can. Thank you. Thank you. John Wesley said this. It's just not words, but it's these. He said, do all the good you can by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as ever you can. See, that's a life of kindness. It is doing good from a good heart. Being kind from a kind heart. If you are a student in school, you're in the office, you're self-employed, realize that you are a walking kind machine. You've heard of time machines? What about being a kind machine? Your orientation is to dispense. People go to a snack machine. Well, people come to you and they don't have to pay. You dispense kindness. Acts of kindness. Motivated by a heart that realizes what God has done for me, then I am called to do for others and do to others, even if I don't feel like it. God's power is more, it's stronger than my feelings. We don't always want to do what's right, right? We have that fallen nature, but God's power is greater. See, we want to feel it, right? I don't feel like it. Do you realize that your mind, your thoughts are the boss of your feelings? We think our feelings are the boss. And we act like it too. Yes, sir. Okay. So much easier, right? Who's your master now? God? The Holy Spirit? That says love them anyway? Love them even though they don't deserve it, to be kind. And it's got to start at home. It's got to start at home. I have to look at my life as a husband, as a father. You see, God said this in 1 John 4:10-11. I'll give the short version of it. We love because he first loved us. He's the one that initiated it. Not only loved us, but put love in our hearts. Loving kindness starts at home. Can we go home now? No, sermon's not over. But let's go home in this sermon. Let's go to your house. Husbands, right? How many of you are husbands? All right. How many out there are listening to husbands? Oh, glad to see your hands. On the internet. In Colossians 3:19, the Apostle Paul said, husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh, within. Now, husband, let's just kick back and pause and think about it. Have I ever been harsh with my wife? Can I get some company here? Can I get a witness? I think you don't have to raise your hand, but you can raise it in your mind, okay? It's like this little girl was told by her parents, sit down. I said, sit down. And she sat down. And she said, but I'm standing up in my mind. Well, listen. Raise your hand and, you know, confess. We agree with God. Hey, he didn't put that there because there were no times that a husband is harsh with their wife. Do not be harsh with him. So what's the opposite of the harshness? Help me here, somebody. Kind. Be kind to them. You say, oh, I love you, darling. Shut up. Harsh. That's not love. See, just as you could not have a fire, you could have a picture of a fire without heat, you cannot have love without kindness. And I think there's room for all of us as husbands. Ephesians 5 tells husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church. How did he love the church? He gave himself for his wife. He loved his wife. Husbands, guess what? All of us are wives. How many of you realize, husbands? All Christian husbands are wives. How many realize that? Right? If you don't raise your hand, you're not a wife. Even if you're not married, men, if you're a Christian, you're a wife. How do you say that? For the church is the bride of Christ made up of men and women. And he was kind to us. He was gracious to us to give his life for us. Kindness of a Savior. We sang that, right? We sang it a while ago. So mighty to save. Everyone needs, right, forgiveness. Everyone needs the kindness of a Savior. Now, since God has saved us, he wants us to go and become representatives of the Savior, being kind to other people. Fathers, again, Colossians 3:21 says, fathers, do not embitter your children, or they will become discouraged. Huh. So if we embitter them, what's the solution? To be what to them? Kind to them. Kind to them. Kind. You say, well, children will say, Daddy, you can't spank me no more. Mister said, you got to be kind. I know I ran in the house and broke something or didn't, get off my device when you told me to or download apps I wasn't supposed to have, but you can't do anything about it because, didn't Jesus say be kind? Let me read something else to you. See, kindness does not always mean pleasurable. Does not always mean that it doesn't hurt. Is God not a father? We sang that, didn't we? He says, he's a good, good father. Oh, yes, he is. Oh, yes, he is. But when he loves us through discipline, do we say, he's a good, good father? Do we really? Do we? He says, if you be not children, then, if there's no discipline, then you're not really my children. Huh? But the difference is, I'm going to read this to you. We read it last week. I'm going to repeat it. Psalm 145, verse 5. David said, let a righteous man strike me. It is a kindness to me. To discipline your children. I'm not online here telling people to strike their kids. I'm not saying that. But there are other forms of discipline. David said, it's kindness. How many of you have ever equated discipline with kindness? It's there in your Bible. Psalm 145. Verse 5, let a righteous man strike me, it is a kindness, let him rebuke me. It's like oil on my head, it's healing. It's not love to not tell someone the truth. The point, though, is 2 points. One, you do it because you want to see them change. You're not doing it because they made you mad, right? How many times have we disappointed my children? Well, you disappointed me. You mean it's all about you. Then that's not love. And that's not kind. The goal is for them to change. We read Romans chapter 2, verse 14 last week, which says that the kindness of God leads to repentance. God's kindness leads us to repentance, to change. And also, we never do it in anger. God doesn't discipline his children when he's angry. He's not angry at us. He loves us. And he disciplines us that we would be better. He's not out to get us. He's not mad. Never discipline your children when you are upset and angry. That's not kindness. And it will embitter them. If you have to, go, you say, well, I'll deal with this later. Let me go pray. Father, I need your kindness. They just broke my $1,000 vase. Right? Get into God and His love, not in your flesh, not in your anger. Another point I want to make about this is let the loving kindness of God be a motivation to share with others, starting with your family and then to your community and to everybody you meet. Remember I said earlier, become a kindness machine. Oh, that's just an analogy. You're alive. You're not a machine. Dispensing kindness everywhere you go. I want to give you one last example. How many of you ever heard of a lady by the name of Amy Carmichael? She was a missionary many, many years ago in India. She heard about how girls and women were being mistreated in India. The Hindu priests would take young girls and make them prostitutes in their temple. And she had a calling and a heart for God to go there and to rescue them. And she built a facility where they could come and live as they were rescued and clothed. And her key thing was to love them with kindness. Deeds of kindness, clothing them, feeding them, taking care of them. And people began to see her heart. And her and others who were helping changed the way they dressed. They began to dress in Indian garb or fashion and share their lives with them. And hundreds of young girls were rescued and their lives were changed, not just physically, but their hearts were changed. And they also joined that ministry in bringing others to Christ and taking care of them. She had a very holistic approach to not only doing deeds in preaching the gospel, but deeds and works that ministered to the body in which the souls, as she put it, were encased. Remember, we don't just minister to people's spirit, it is the whole person. And this is where the kindness and the goodness and the grace comes in, that you're caring for the whole person, their body and their soul. Some of the Hindu priests were very upset about this, and they began to say that she's working some kind of witchcraft, that she had some kind of powder she was using, some kind of drug that attracted so many women to her. We know what that drug was, don't we? We know what it was. In fact, they changed her name from Amy Carmichael to Missy Amil. And what that meant in that dialect was the child catcher. The child catcher. It was no powder. It was no drug. It was love. Love for the whole person. It was kindness that she showed to these girls and to these women. It is the same kindness and the same love that God can use you to not only be a child catcher, a man catcher, a woman catcher, boy, girl, whatever. You want to be one? If you're not saved, if Christ, you don't depend on Him, ask Him, save me. Because I want to help others. I want to reach others. And He'll come and live within you and empower you. In conclusion, I want us to turn to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. In fact, I'm just going to read it. There it says, verse 22, having purified your souls by obedience to the truth, to the gospel, for a sincere testimony, I'm sorry, I can't even read my writing. I write so bad sometimes. Of love. Love one another earnestly from a pure heart. Now, I wrote that down, and as I said, I can't read all that I wrote. But if you read the scripture, but it's, he talked about loving from a pure heart. See, that's the key. That's the well. That's the source. And a pure heart, God's compassion, God's love. I'm reminded of Jesus, who reached out to Jerusalem and to the Jews, and he said, Oh, Jerusalem. Oh, how I would have gathered you as a mother hen gathers her chicks, but you would not. And he wept. His heart was oriented to helping people and saving people. Wherever he went, he healed the sick. He raised the dead. He gave sight to the blind. You know why? Because he wanted to display to them what God is like. That God is long-suffering. That God is kind. And he did it in word and in deed, in preaching the gospel and living the gospel before them. Remember this. The goodness, the graciousness, the kindness of God flows from a kind heart. Father, we ask you to change our hearts. None of us is where we should be, whether we're saved or not. We need to depend on, we need to trust in you. Because a lot of times we're just selfish. A lot of times we are harsh. Give us kind hearts. Empower us to walk in kindness and goodness and to be gracious to all. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Exemplifies the kindness of God. God giving his life, giving the life of Jesus, his body and his blood, his life. It is interesting that Jesus shared this meal with people who would be very unkind to him. They betrayed him, every one of them. Not just Judas, but Peter. Cursed. Blankety blank. I told you I didn't know the man. You're going to die for him? He knew. He said, Peter, you're going to, before the rooster crows so many times, three times, you're going to betray me. You're going to deny me. Can you imagine that? And yet he's sitting at supper. Would you feed your quote-unquote enemies? This is kindness. This is a kindness meal. And as we, and before we eat it and drink it, Father, examine me. Show me. I have a heart like yours. Not only that, after the Lord's Supper, here Judas comes with the Roman soldiers to take it and kissed him. Would you have received that kiss? Backhand, right? You going to come and betray me and kiss me? You better knock him in the mouth, right? This is kindness. You know what Jesus said to him? Friend, do what you came for. Then the men stepped forward and seized Jesus and arrested him. With that, one of Jesus' companions reached for his sword. He said, enough of this kindness. You're going to take care of business right now. Reached for his sword, drew it out, and struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his ear. It wasn't that he was trying to show what accuracy he had, what surgical precision. Let me just get his ear, Lord. No, he was trying to cut that rascal's head off and missed. With that, one of Jesus' disciples did that. Okay, cut off the priest's ear. Okay. And Jesus said, put your sword back in its place. For all who draw the sword will die by the sword. He said, that's not what I'm about. Do you think I cannot call on my Father and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? Thousands of thousands of angels. He said, I could take care of this. If that's what I was about. But how then would the scriptures be fulfilled that say it must happen in this way? Isn't that incredible? What an example for us and all of us. It says in 1 Peter 2, he's set an example that we should follow in his step. It is impossible for us to do that except by the resurrected Christ living that same life over in us and being kind to his enemies, showing goodness and grace to them. This is what God has called us to. So before you eat this, before I eat and drink this, let us examine ourselves in the light of the word preached, confess our failures and our shortcomings, and cry out to God for help and mercy and grace to be given to others as a display in our lives of the glorious goodness and kindness of God to others. Father, we thank you for sending Jesus to show us what you're like. Father, we know that you are a good, good Father, that you are kind and gracious and loving. As we drink this wine, we ask you to bless it and bless the bread as we eat it, the body and the blood of Jesus, that it not just be some wine and some bread, but it be life to us, living the kindness. And so we ask you to do this in our lives for the good of others, and let us be a blessing of kindness to all we see. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Face that I see in the mirror. It's amazing that you